sew his own tears beside it, so that the tears and the way they look alike. So half of the churches we have now are not churches. They are tears that are just sewn there to distract people. Are you getting my point? And once people go there, if you come to their house to preach, they go to church as their consent. They are also Christians. You know, one of the analyses we are analyzing is, for those of us down south, when I was much younger, white garment churches were plenty. Now they are very few. Not because they have repented, but they have started wearing color. So you no longer can distinguish between a proper church and a company of charlatans that are out there to make money from people. All the churches are now deliverance ministry, outreach ministry, kill the devil ministry. Hey, I saw one poster. Somebody photographed it for me from Abuja here. He said, Koboko night. Come with your Koboko. Yes. I whip the devil. I am surprised we do not yet have Kalashnikov night. AK-47 night. Bring your gun and come and shoot the devil. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. There's a lot of confusion out there, eh? But don't be worried. God, you know, like he said, don't worry. Don't spoil things. Don't go around. Don't fight anybody. The day of my harvest, I know how to separate the wheat from the tares. I'm very good at doing that. So he said, don't worry. Now, please, I'm just trying to bring out something about the coming of the day of the Lord when it comes to the matter of gathering in the numbers that he has commanded. What numbers, we do not know, but we have to continue to gather. Open your Bibles to the book of, let's use Luke chapter 10. Okay, let's use the one from Matthew chapter 9. I'm just looking at two of them, which one I prefer. Yeah, Matthew chapter 9. Because two different times it's recorded there. Let's use the one from Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35, he said, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, why did I read this? Peter said in that 2 Peter chapter 3 that we read, that we can hasten the coming of the day of the Lord. And I'm just trying to pick one of the things. The first thing I spent most of the time discussing is the fact that our participation is important in anything that God wants to do. That's the summary of it. And now I want to pick up one of the things that we are supposed to do, which I believe generally the body of Christ has been negligent in recent times in doing, even though outwardly it appears like we are doing it. The truth is that we are not doing it as well as we should be, and that is gathering the numbers of the people. Now, if you see what God said here, what the Lord Jesus said here clearly, is that the problem is not, first of all, with the unbeliever or the world, that the problem of harvest is with laborers. Did you notice that? He looked and said they were like sheep without shepherd. He had compassion on them, and then his comment was that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He said, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. What it means is that if we are going to gather in the harvest, then there must be a lot of laborers working. One thing I noticed while I was reading this for those young people is that Jesus did not say, my disciples are few. Did you notice that? He did not say, let me adapt it to today's Christianity or today's world. He did not say that the Christians are few. What he said in effect is that those amongst my disciples that are actively involved in harvesting, they are few. Did you understand that? That is, the harvest is plentiful, but amongst the disciples, those who are harvesting are few. That's why he said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, what I taught those young people, which is what I want to share with us, is to explain again, who are the people that are laboring? Who are the people that are his laborers? Because it's obvious, we don't have to spend time discussing that, that the fact that you are a disciple does not mean you are a laborer. That the fact that you are a Christian does not mean you are a laborer. Laboring is, in fact, if you see the next portion, what he now did was to begin to send them out two by two. All right? You go here, you go here. Go, you've been following me around. Now go out and go and do the work of harvesting. That's what he was saying. Now, so I want to encourage Christians to rise up again and begin to do the work of harvesting. Because indeed, the harvest is plentiful. Let me just say this. I have been around churches a bit. Please, I did not do a scientific study on this, but I have a conviction that even amongst what we call Pentecostal churches, the number of true Christians there are very few. When I was a child those days, everybody went to church, all right? In the area where I grew up in, most people were Christians, with a lot of Muslims also, but everybody went one way or the other. So when you became a true Christian, they said you had become SU. That was the name. I don't know those who remember. That was the name. That some used the word reborn. And it was only the SU people that preached that you needed to be reborn. So this thing is that, you don't know, you don't join SU. And that was a sign that he's no longer just a churchgoer. He's now a true Christian. Yeah, when I was a child, in the late 70s, early 80s. Yes, that was the talk. It was the talk in town. All right? Now, at least what we did then was that as Christians, we understood that going to church was not the thing. In fact, I met one man. He's an old man now, very old. He's in his 80s. The day he and I were speaking, he asked me some things. He said, "What is wrong with you people?" Now, what is you people? He's an Anglican. And he always goes around churches to see what they are doing. His father was a bishop, all right? And he's an old man now. His father was a bishop. And he said it was in his 50s when his daughter, who was in university, came home, preached the gospel to him, and he believed. I don't know whether you hear what I said. He went to church all his life. His father was a bishop. If he said that the problem was, people were saying that, how can he say it is now he's becoming a Christian when he was baptized? That was the issue. So because of that, the zeal he has in him, all right, is different. He's still an Anglican, and he's been there for a very long time. Of course, he was born there. It is something now, so you can imagine how long he has been an Anglican. And he was in his 50s when he gave his life to Christ. So he's been a true Christian for a few decades now. So he says he goes around churches. And he said he has noticed something. In fact, that's why he asked me that day, "What is wrong with you people? You people be you young Christians." Because compared to an 80-year-old man, you can imagine how small I am. "What is wrong with you people?" That he has been to our churches. He asked me the church I go to. I told him that he has been to our church. That we don't preach be born again. That we don't. That he has been around churches in town. And he mentioned two churches for me. They mentioned one young pastor. So those are the people that he has seen that are actually leading people to Christ. That other people just do church. That is what the Christians complained about 30, 40 years ago. It is not the Pentecostals that are doing it now. Do you get my point? Yes, it is not our turn. A bad turn, but it's our turn. So people now go to church. And they are not true believers. Because somebody... Okay, I'm following my time. Thank you. Because somebody is not focusing on the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say this. It's very easy to slip away from the core of the gospel of Jesus. It's very easy. Especially when you have prospered as a Christian. That's why God said, "Thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power..." Now, why does he say, thou shalt remember? God does not ever command about things that are normal. What I mean is that if normally you remember, he won't tell you, thou shalt remember. Do you get my point? He said, thou shalt remember because the normal and natural tendency is to forget. So he now interposes with a commandment which says, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God. People often forget when they have established themselves in prosperity, which is what the problem is. You go to Europe and go to North America, they have forgotten what brought them to the level of prosperity. So the whole society is now denying the God that blessed them. All right? Please, I'm bringing an issue here. So it's important for us to bear that in mind, that that thing has begun again in Christianity in these days in Nigeria, that a lot of people go to church, but they don't truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen plenty of it. I have seen plenty of it. So it means the work is actually plentiful. Another thing that I'll talk about that one maybe tomorrow morning. Another thing that I see that's quite extensive these days, even amongst true Christians, which causes confusion for us. We don't know who's truly a Christian or who is not, because even amongst us who are truly Christians, the depth of ignorance people walk in gets you confused. So that, because ignorance, what it does, it produces what the Bible calls carnality. And carnality means that you cannot tell whether this man is a Christian or not, even though he's a Christian. That's the meaning of the word carnality. To be carnal means to be fleshly. There's a natural man. A Christian that is like a natural man is not called a natural man, but it's called a carnal man. Do you understand my point? All right? So the difference between a natural man and a spiritual and a carnal man is difficult outwardly. You look at them, you talk to them, you really can't tell, because the one that's supposed to be spiritual is like a carnal man. We'll talk about that one tomorrow. But today, let's talk about that issue of being a laborer. I just said all of this is to emphasize the fact that the harvest indeed is plentiful. It is plentiful, like the Lord Jesus said. There are many people who don't go to church at all, but even among those who go to church, there are still a lot that actually they do not truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just drop two principles that will help us with this harvest thing. Now, the laborers is what I'm talking about. Now, let me say something here. You know, you cannot by plenty words persuade anybody. You know that? No, you can't. Paul said, I did not come to you with excellency of man's wisdom, but I came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What he was saying in simple terms is that it is God that does the work of convicting people. It is the Holy Spirit that knows how to convert people. The only thing that we can do is what I am talking about. Jesus said something in the book of John chapter 12, verse 32. The book of John chapter 12, in verse 32. The one we read yesterday, just the lower part of it. Let me just read from verse 31. It said, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Now, when the Lord said this, in verse 33, he was signifying by what death he will die. Now, but I want to apply that principle here. And that's the fact that if we, that is the duty of laborers, is to constantly lift Jesus up, and then he will be able to draw all men, all peoples to himself. We have agreed that it's not by our own labor, it is not by our own strength. Our duty is just to lift Jesus up for people to see. Are you getting my point? Yes, our duties is to lift people up for people, lift Jesus up for people to see. If we do that and we do that constantly, we will find out that he will by himself draw all men. He will by himself draw all men to himself. Now, there are three ways by which I want to explain to us that we can do this or that we should do this. One, number one is in the conduct of the believer. And this, the teaching is a Christian and what is conduct. Number one way by which we lift Jesus up is by our conduct. That is number one way. Now, when we talk about conduct now, let me just say this. I want to emphasize it, and I'll develop it again tomorrow. One major problem we have as human beings is that we try to learn outward conduct, and that doesn't work in Christianity. Let me explain what I mean. There's a friend of mine. Once he decided that he was going to preach the gospel to his friend. Well, he was a youth copper, and he had some acquaintances who were youth coppers. So he decided he was going to preach the gospel to them. And the way he would do it was to first show them the love of God. Now, you following me? So what did he mean? He will cook food and give them to eat. He will take good care of them. And according to him, I'm going to show them the love of God. And after that, I will preach the gospel to them. Food, they go eat. They will come to his room, eat. And those boys actually thought food was free. They didn't realize he was paying for it. Then a day came, he decided to preach the gospel of God to them, having shown them the love of God. And every single one of them rejected that gospel. And just like the relationship of Amnon and Tamar, the hatred with which he hated them after was more than the love that he loved them at the beginning. Before he used to give them food. Now, if you touch his water, he will fight you. Why? He has shown you the love of God and you have refused to believe. You know, that's manipulation. That's not the love of God. We are doing something outwardly. You know, God said to the children of Israel that their fear of me is composed of commandments learned by rote. That is, they just learn to recite. It does not come from their hearts. Sometimes when we do conduct, that's what we do. Like I say all the time, it's very easy to know the church a Christian goes to. A man goes to a woman. I don't know whether the person is a Christian or not. Just see the church. It's very easy. How the person talk, how the person dresses, you just know the church. If I'm honest, then. And those things are actually easy to learn. If a woman says, you easily learn Christianese. You know they call Christianese. Okay, the Christianese is like a China man. What does he speak? He speaks Chinese. A Christian speaks Christianese. It's the language of the Christians. God bless you, sir. Bless you, sir. Praise God. How now? Amen. Amen. It is well. It is well. And the new one, back to sender. We reject it. Those things can be learned in one day. But that's not what we mean by Christian conduct. Christian conduct comes from the heart. Christian conduct comes from persuasion. It is not, thou shalt not steal. It is, I don't even like to steal. Are you getting my point? That is, you see, when we focus on the one that's outward, we are concerned about who sees and who does not see. You get what I'm saying? You are concerned about who sees and who doesn't see. But when something is your real nature, your real character, it's different. Whether people are there or not, it just rises from inside you. And I want to explain, I want to emphasize to us as believers that we should focus on that first rather than the attitude or rather than having the attitude on how do I appear like to people. A man goes to the office and says, I must show them I'm a Christian. You don't need to show anybody you're a Christian. Just be a Christian, it will show. Do you get what I'm saying? It is not let me show them I'm a Christian. So when you get to the office, everybody come, let us pray. Why do you want to join hands with unbelievers to pray? You know, it always makes me like, you go to office, I'm a Christian, you must not be Christian here. All of you come for prayer. They don't believe in God. What relationship has light with darkness? Why do you want to join hands with a mommy water spirit? I'm saying in the name of Jesus. Are you TB Joshua? Understand? You know, look, and part of the issue is that people feel like they must show they are Christians. Let me say this to you. It is not necessary. Just be a true Christian, it will show. You know Daniel? When they investigated Daniel, the Bible says that all the affairs of the king, what we call the affairs of state these days, all right, in government matters, that's what they mean. That there was no negligence or corruption found with him. He didn't go there to show them, listen, no, I'm a Jew. I may have a covenant with God. Listen, the man used to pray his prayer at home. He was not known in church, in the cabinet, as a prophet. He was known as a good minister. His reputation is that if there's a problem, call Daniel. His reputation was not, pastor is coming, you know. Pastor will so start praying. You know, this day and age, God forbid bad thing. You know, There are two pastors I know. That's pastor by title now, all right? Just thinking of them, I'm laughing. One of them, my wife buys things from him. He's like a wholesaler. So one day she went to Lagos, we are in Enugu. I think she used to talk to the man on the phone. So one day she went to Lagos. Now, this is the point. This is the point I want to get you to understand. The man is totally unreliable and dishonest. So one day she went to Lagos and went to look for him, sir. The nurse said, I'm looking for some person. He said, oh, you're looking for a pastor. Where pastor shop? Pastor? Ah! Who are you calling pastor? Is it the same human being that I know? His name in the market is what? Pastor. His reputation before she got there to find that he was a pastor is that this man, if he says 1 + 1, and if he says it is morning, you have to go and look outside, lest it is midnight. That if you come and say, ah, madam, good morning, you have to go outside and say, oh boy, are you sure it's morning? Before you answer him, good morning. Yet his name in the market was what? Pastor. The other one I don't want to tell you, but I will tell you since my mother started saying it. Okay, I'll just tell you small. I bought something from this other one too. He was with us in Enugu. So one day I went to look for him. I mentioned his name. I knew his first name. I said, okay, you are looking for pastor. Okay, he was around just now. Okay, did you tell him you were coming? So I called my friend. I said, look, they called this guy pastor. You know what? Before I knew they called him pastor, I knew about the girl he impregnated, though he had a wife and 2 children in Lagos. That's the only thing I knew. So when I got to his office, and they said, ah, you're looking for pastor. Pastor is around now. Pastor is around. So I phoned my friend who connected me with him. I said, did you know that this guy is called pastor? So I asked one lady there in the office. I said, sorry, please. Why do you call him pastor? Ah, they said he's a pastor now. He pastors and told me the name of the church and where the branch he's a pastor in is. I didn't say more than that too. I just closed my mouth. Okay, when pastor comes, tell him I'm looking for him. I came to collect the thing I bought. Now that's what happens when people want to be seen as Christians. They want to show it. Like I said, it is not necessary. Just be a Christian and it will show. And it is not just, you know, look, listen. Let me explain what I'm saying. It's not just what you want people to see. First of all, when you talk, one of the ones I believe is most important for believers of today is how we respond to situations. There's false scarcity. They want to kill us. You tell the man that you want to preach to, that you are as afraid as he is. When the disciples used to preach, they used to ask them, what must we do to be saved? The way you are saved, what must we do? But want to persuade people to become like what we are, and what we are is not impressive at all. You are afraid of witches and wizards and Ogbonge spirits. Why should I join you? What am I saying? It's not just, you see, it's something we turn into in our hearts. It's not just what we try to present to people. And that turning into, I'm saying, is this. First, I think we must understand the true liberty we have in Christ Jesus. Because when people used to say, what must I do to be saved? What they meant is that I am in bondage. I need to come out. How did you come out of this bondage into your liberty? Let me summarize it like that. We should just be Christians in our conduct. Let me quickly drop this. Okay, I'll talk about that maybe again tomorrow. And that's the issue of learning. I said yesterday that there is a commandment concerning every trade. You know, I said that. And one thing that marked Isaac out was the way he lived his life. So that when people wanted to call God, Jacob said to Laban, were you not that the God of my father Abraham, he called him the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, he called God the fear of Isaac. That is, in Isaac's conduct, listen to this, in Isaac's conduct, everybody knew that he feared somebody. So that when they wanted to describe that God, they called him who? The fear of Isaac. Very important. There's one man, I read his book, He's late now. He wrote a very good book for business people. He called it Business by the Book. Business by the Book. That's the name of the book. It's Larry Bucket. Yes, Larry Bucket. If you're a businessman or everybody, read that book, Business by the Book. There were certain principles he taught in there that if you observe them, people around as a businessman will know you have something that you fear that is different from them. There was a way he operated his business where he taught people, was a business consultant for Christians. All right? In fact, there was one man he counseled with, and one major problem in the office that everybody hated the fact that that man was a Christian. That it used to annoy them that this man claimed he's a Christian, the way he treated everybody. Let me just add this one. How many of you know of Mahatma Gandhi? Ever heard of Mahatma Gandhi? Yes. You know, the man said something. I like to quote it for Christians so we'll be afraid. When he read the Bible, he decided that he should be a Christian. So he went to church. And when he got there, they kicked him out of the church because he was not a white man. You know, he was an Indian, dark-skinned Indian. So they kicked him out. So the man left and said, I would have been a Christian except that I met a Christian. That was what was ascribed to him. I would have been a Christian except that I met a Christian. The question is that when we meet people, are we attractive? Is the fragrance coming from our lives such as to make people want to be Christians? Now, the question is this. Is my life reflecting, is it exuding a fragrance that makes people want to be Christians? Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Very, very important. We should ask ourselves that question. Because my time is short, the second thing I want to add to you, I said three things. Second thing is that don't forget what I said about Daniel. We must put excellence into all that we do. People say something that this world is not our home, we're just passing through. The world is not our home. Amen? It's not our home. Amen? Amen? But we are not just passing through. That's the one I don't agree with. The hotel I'm staying in is not my home. I'm just passing through. That is correct. But the house I'm living in Enugu is not my home, really. Heaven is my home. But that one, I'm not just passing through. If the roof is leaking, I won't leave it and say, hey, I'm just passing through. If the road in front is bad, I say, hey, I'm just passing through. I can say that in the hotel where I'm staying now. But in that house, I can't say that. This earth, that's how it is for us. So we are not just passing through. We are not just passing through. We're sent here to show forth His excellencies. Go and read that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I like the New American Standard. It said that you have been called to show forth the excellencies of Him that called you. Don't ever forget it. As Christians, our lives must be excellent. We must be excellent in our conduct, most certainly. And we must be excellent in everything that we do. When I wrote the book, How to Work for God, the major reason I wrote that book is that Christians often think that going to church, like now, Banky is here preaching, he's working for God. But when a man goes to his office, he's not working for God. It's not true. How I do my work as a doctor is work for God. As an engineer is work for God. As a lawyer is work for God. I told a story in the book about the man who reinvented the British legal system. Otto Guinness, that's his name. And last of all, so I don't overrun my time, I've been giving you enough warning. In whatever we do, we must never forget to maintain a bold testimony. Listen, that is what I've itemized, I believe, is the most effective way, all right, in summary, to be a harvester, to be a laborer amongst the harvest that is plentiful. One, We must be distinct in our conduct. Our lives must be true Christian lives. Number two, we must be committed to excellence in all that we do. And number three, which is what I'm ending with, we must maintain a bold testimony at all times. That is, if somebody says to you, why do you love your wife so much, even though you have been married for 10 years? Don't say, I read a book once, 6 Keys to Making a Woman Happy. That is blasphemy. What is my own testimony? What I will tell you that it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my sight. Many years ago, I thought about that. I've seen a lot of people who are always quarreling with their wives, and I prayed to God that He put the love for my wife in my heart. And that is what you are seeing today. That is what I mean by bold testimony. How come you are not afraid like the rest of us? When everybody was wrong, I must go abroad or I die. I must go abroad or I die. How come you are not interested? I used to tell people. I said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I said, wherever I go in life, I will be blessed. So I don't have to run to a place because I'm looking for blessings. I've discovered the place of my assignment. You know, because I learned many of these when I was in school. Once, when I was posted to NYC, that was the year Taraba State was created. My mother was, when I got home, she said, where did they post you? I said, Taraba State. She said, what is that? She did not know of the existence of a state called Taraba. We were the first set of coppers that went there. That was in 1993. So she was saying, what are we going to do now? She was looking worried. Meanwhile, I got up. I said, I'm going to park. I have to go because camp, you know, you have to reach camp by the following day. I said, I'm parking. I just said to her, I'm going. Hey, what do we do about it? I said, do about what? I'm parking now. Can't you see I'm heading for somewhere? Of course, she was really worried. I packed my things and I left. This is the interesting thing about doing what is right. Years later, she said, you have a way of putting somebody's mind at rest. I still remember when you came back home and you said you were going to Taraba State, how worried I was. So you just packed your things and told me not to worry that you were off. He said, you have a way of putting somebody's mind at rest. That's what I mean by bold testimony. I said to you simply, God is with me where I'm going. You just relax. Whatever good God does in your life, don't ever forget to ascribe glory to Him. You are such a good worker. Ah! I say, oh God, my father trained us to be hardworking. It's blasphemy. There are many people that their fathers trained to be hardworking. Now they are hard stealing. Yourself, I'm going to explain. So if there's something good that's coming out of you that people notice, don't ever forget to give that glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you've gotten my point this morning. Can I just bow down our heads and pray? My time is up. What do we do? We just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, we thank you. We give you thanks and praise, for you are good and you are kind. Say, Lord, I thank you because your spirit is what is working inside me. Say, Lord, I say to the Lord, say, I commit myself again to a total Christian lifestyle, to having the Spirit of Christ manifest in me. I commit myself again to a life of showing forth God's excellence in all that I do. I commit myself to maintaining a bold testimony. Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I may speak boldly your word when I'm called upon. Let's say it again. Say, Lord, I renounce the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All those things, I renounce them out of my life. But I ask you, Father, to fill me with your understanding and with your knowledge so that I will be a Christian indeed, and it will show so as to give glory to your most holy name. Let's just pray that prayer.